they are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, he need cut a dude, man.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. That's my taxpayer name. And we talk about Native issues and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond.
You know, we try to talk to our Native relatives and our allies all over Turtle Island about what's going on with Native people and what affects Native people. And we lead off the show. I'm thinking about the store. We're also brought to you by Native Roots Trading Post in downtown Minneapolis. Just to throw that in there real quick. We try to talk about news and events that affect Native Americans all over Turtle Island. And now we're going to have Ogama with the news that you don't hear anywhere else. Welcome, Ogama.
Hi, Anim Buju, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganuikwe. I'm a member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. My name means strong golden eagle woman. It is Friday here on Native Roots Radio, and I wanted to just mention the things I've been mentioning this week. Make sure you head on over to indigenousfutures.org and take the Indigenous Futures Survey before January 31st, 2022. It is a Native-led survey that allows you to get your voice heard and that information shared throughout Indian country. So again, indigenousfutures.org. Take a half an hour to do the survey. 20 minutes to a half an hour is about all it takes, and you can be entered to win a gift card at the end as well if you choose. So really exciting. Already did mine. Sent it out to my family to have them do it as well. So important survey. Make sure you get it out there. Another fun thing for this weekend as you look into the weekend, if you're looking for Native American music, check out namalive.com for the Native American Music Awards. You can vote in any number of, I believe, almost a dozen categories for different types of Native American music and arts, and it's really just an awesome website. And I know we got a shout out yesterday from Sten Jotty telling you to go vote at the NAMMIs. So make sure you check out namalive.com and vote. And then the Native Arts and Cultures .org website has a grant that's available. So if you check out nativeartsandcultures.org, if you are a Native artist in any one of, I can't even list the amount of mediums they have available for you to apply, beadwork, painting, anything you can pretty much imagine, film, all of that, you can apply for a LIFT grant of up to $10,000 to launch you into your art career or endeavors via nativeartsandcultures.org. And if you're brave enough to go into the healthcare business right now, IHS does have 2022 and 2023 academic year scholarships now open at ihs.gov/scholarships. They will tell you all the information you need and how to put everything up online because they are accepting only online things this year, nothing by paper. In Minnesota, I don't have too many more events coming up for Line 3 at the moment. We're still in between a couple of federal cases, but the big eyes on the Line 3 movement have really been looking at Line 5, which is Enbridge moving next door into Wisconsin. So coming up next Wednesday, February 2nd at 4 p.m. is the Line 5 hearing hosted by the Wisconsin DNR. The Department of Natural Resources for Wisconsin released a draft environmental impact statement for Enbridge Energy's controversial plan to construct a new segment of the Line 5 oil pipeline in northern Wisconsin. Under state law, the EIS, must contain information about how the project would impact people, natural resources, and the economy. However, we know that Line 5, if built, could lead to catastrophic damage to local communities, lands, and waters, including Lake Superior. Tar sands are the dirtiest form of energy on the planet, and the DNR is taking public comments on the draft environmental impact statement at this public hearing on February 2nd. It is all virtual. If you head over to the Sierra Club of Wisconsin, or go over and type in Line 5 Hearing on Facebook, you can find the event and you can register for the Zoom link to make your voice heard as a Minnesota or Wisconsin resident on the dangers of the tar sands pipelines in northern Wisconsin. Over here in Minnesota, I did not hear about this until later, but this kind of looks interesting. So the Old Town Mankato community is hosting Indigenous artists, food vendors, and handmade good vendors for an Indigenous art festival. And that's February 3rd at 10 a.m. through February 5th at 6 p.m. So that is in downtown Mankato, Minnesota, which is also known as Old Town Mankato. So that's a pretty cool event that's coming up if you're in southern Minnesota. In national news, a federal judge today cited the climate crisis, cited the climate crisis in decision to cancel oil and gas leases in the Gulf of Mexico. So I don't know if you remember this, but last January, the Biden administration tried to sign an executive order to pause new permits and for oil and gas drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. However, a lawsuit filed on behalf of 13 states and came from a federal court in Louisiana actually blocked Biden's pause, and the Biden administration put their hands up in the air and said their hands were tied. Well, just yesterday, in a ruling, the U.S. District Court judge for D.C., for District of Columbia, Rudolph Contreras, said that the lease sale was invalid because the Department of the Interior's analysis did not fully take into account the impacts of climate change on those leases, and that they used outdated information from the Trump administration to get it through before. So that is definitely a big win for the environment here, but we need to see a lot more cases like that happening in the U.S. Some sad news coming out of Canada. Indigenous communities have found another potentially 93 burial sites at another school, St. Joseph's Mission Residential School in British Columbia, was found earlier this week. And that follows, I mean, Robert, did you happen to know how many we're up to in Canada, let alone the United States?
No, and that's a really, really good question, because there's so many different numbers out there, and I don't know what the updated number is, but it's way up there.
It is. It's a huge amount of numbers. And back in 2015, Canada's Truth and Reconciliation Commission tried to say that they knew of at least 4,100 students who died at the schools in Canada between when they opened and when the last one was closed in the 1990s. But that doesn't include, you know, what happened here in the United States. So unfortunately, we're going to see these numbers steadily ticking up as more and more schools are investigated. So our prayers are out to the relatives of those children from St. Joseph's Mission Residential School in British Columbia, and to all past and future children who have yet to be found. Also from Canada, this is a little bit of a good news, and I'm going to put a picture up here. I'm kind of excited about this. So the cover of Elle magazine for Canada has Indigenous women on it. It's really, really exciting. So the article from Elle talks about how its model Willow Allen, designer Victoria Kakutinik, who throat singer and TikToker Sheena Novalinga, and actor Marika Sila, and they are Inuit tastemakers and have dedicated advocates for Indigenous peoples. And in partnership with Canada Goose, they're highlighting the need for more Indigenous role models and the importance of breaking down barriers for future generations. So very exciting to see that hit the stands on Monday, January 31st up in Canada.
Wow, that is awesome news. Always good to have representation all over Turtle Island. We are still here. Thank you, Ogama. We have State Senator Mary Kunish up next, and we're always pleased and happy and proud and excited to get an update from the state senator. So We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents, I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
I went off script there, Wendy. I was ready to ad lib. Thank you. Hey, Wendy's going to have a lot of snow there in New York, and she bought some boots. She didn't think she needed any boots there, and now she's all ready to go, right, Wen?
I'm ready. They were delivered today, and when I wake up tomorrow and throughout the afternoon, we should have about 8 to 12 inches here in Long Beach, Long Island, New York. So we'll see.
Wow, awesome. Hey, so today's Friday, and it's State Senator Mary Kunish Day here on Native Roots Radio, and we're really happy, as always, to have you on and check in and, you know, talk about whatever you want to talk about, but mostly it's really a positive day here on Friday. Wendy ends the show with some positive trivia on our sacred animals, and it's always really great and positive to have you, State Senator. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much. That's a very pleasant welcome to walk into.
Awesome. So, what's shaking? I know we got pretty soon. We're going to be in session, and your part time job, which has been a full time job here for the last 4 years, is going to be even more busy. So, talk about what we got to look forward to, and what else you're up to.
Good. Well, I had a lovely day with my granddaughter. She's almost 4 years old. I mean, 4 years old, 4 months old. And so she's getting a lot more personality. Lots of giggles today. That was really sweet. So Fridays are really like the sweetest day of the week for me as well. And getting ready for our legislative session. So this will be my second year in the Senate, and I was 4 years in the House of Representatives before that. And for those out there in radio land, here in Minnesota, our sessions, we meet every year, not every state does, but we meet every year. And the first year of a biennium, the odd year is usually like the policy year where we really address, issues of policy, some finance, but we kind of focus on policy. And then the second year, which is this year, is a bonding year, which means that we are looking at financing, how we're financing our state, how we are using the funds that we have available to maintain our state, you know, the bridges, the roads, state-owned buildings like universities and colleges, and then those that have kind of unique projects or need some help in their own community will ask the state for money. And so that's where we're going into this bonding year this year. In Minnesota, we have a split legislature. We have in the House, we have a majority of DFL, Democrat Farmer Labor Caucus. Those are the Dems. And in the Senate, we have the majority is held by the Republicans. And then we have a Democrat DFL for governor. So we have a split legislature, which makes it really difficult to get a lot of work done. But it does sort of balance things out, you know, in a way. So we'll be going in to session looking to spend a lot of money because we have a very large surplus this year in Minnesota. And, you know, you always think, oh, if I had $1 billion, what would we do with it? Well, we have a surplus of a lot of $1 billion. So we're going to be looking at how we can best serve the state of Minnesota and then also fund some of these unique other projects that are going to be going on around Minnesota.
Yeah, that's exciting. And, you know, the economy grew the fastest, and I think nationally, since 1984. And that's kind of amazing, seeing that we're in the middle of a pandemic, Mary. And I think it talks about the new economy that we're moving into. Things have changed. People are working at home. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think what has happened, you know, when the pandemic hit and people weren't able to go to work and they lost their jobs, you know, the federal government threw tons and tons of dollars at the states. I mean, you look at those, I don't want to call it a bonus, but people who are on unemployment were getting that boost from the federal government. I mean, Minnesota depleted its unemployment fund. We used to have, a surplus in our unemployment because, you know, we had a strong economy. We had low unemployment in Minnesota, but those businesses were still paying into it. So we had a huge chunk of money, but we went through it all. And then we needed some money from the federal government. But in the meantime, a lot of families were still getting those extra dollars if you were on unemployment. Plus, the federal government also was doing checks to families with children. And so in a way, it really boosted our economy. People still spent a lot of money, but they weren't spending it on the way we used to spend it, like going out to restaurants and, you know, really disposable. So all of a sudden we have money. We're doing a lot of, you know, over the air, over the internet, purchasing kind of stuff rather than in person, you know, compared to what we used to. And businesses, there are businesses, some of these corporations, you know, doubled and tripled their profits. And those, you know, those were the ones that got a lot of that early on kind of PPP assistance. And the little guys didn't because they weren't set up to apply for it. They didn't have lawyers. They didn't quite know how to do it. They didn't pivot as well. And so there is money to be out there, but we just have to kind of sit tight right now as inflation rises, the cost of gas, the cost of food. I mean, I went to the grocery store and for a bag that I carried home, I was just appalled how much it ended up costing me. And there was nothing really, you know, there's no fancy stuff in there. And so we'll be looking at how we can help like the middle class with tax breaks. We'll be looking at how we can boost our small business owners and build their businesses back up. Education will be just, you know, who knows how to fix that right now. We just can't expect to have the same kind of outcome that we've had in the past. And so it'll be very interesting here in Minnesota as it's sort of a push me, pull you legislature, I have a feeling. And we'll be seeing some of the other, I think, kind of unrealistic and far out moves by the Republicans that is going across the nation, especially around, squelching the voter rights and some of the education issues that are going on. It'll be interesting. Buckle up.
So when we have billions of dollars surplus, do we put more money back into, like you said, there was unemployment was depleted. Do we put those coffers back up then with that money?
That's an option. We can refill those coffers. We can tuck money away for, when there's a downturn again. Yeah, we can do that. I always sort of think, how do I run my finances? If I get a little extra somewhere, a bonus, do I tuck it away or do I spend it right away on a new roof or, updating something in the house or sharing it with my children? We have to think, I kind of think like that. I think it's important that we refill some of the budget items that we have really just, down to nothing, so that we have that cushion for the future. But at the same time, I think we can think outside the usual box of bonding and make sure that communities that are really having issues with their water quality, with bridges, some of our state universities, the University of Minnesota is an agricultural and, medical kind of destination college. Let's beef that up. I'd love, somebody saying help retired and disabled people. Absolutely. I think I would like to see a lot of money put into education, especially helping those students with disability as they're going into middle school, high school, and then transitioning into adulthood, but also into a craft or an occupation and figuring out how to live on their own independently. We haven't, we talk about our healthcare workers, and especially at some of these adult care centers and our elder centers, where it's just been really, really, really tough. How can we bring and entice folks to come back and work, and hopefully at a very, very well-paid job where they don't have to work two or three jobs? Maybe now we're to the point of paying a really fair wage where a person can finally start just doing one job and not two or three jobs.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I think that's also interesting, too, because I think the economy's changed in a lot of different ways, too, especially people being able to work at home. People are now not going back to these low-paying jobs. They'd rather not, and they're holding out as long as they can. So there's all these variables that I'm not smart enough to understand, but it all seems like it's changing, and really made a lot of sense what you said when the economy grew and how it grew. We didn't do trickle-down economics like the Republicans like to do. We gave it to the people, and the people spent it on reasonable things. So, Mary, we got another segment with you. Is that okay?
Yep, I'd love to.
Awesome. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Aho, relatives. My name is George McCauley, Omaha Nation. I'm a citizen of the Omaha Nation in Nebraska, but reside in the Twin Cities area. As we head into wintertime, many of us will be back together indoors. It's important to make sure you receive your COVID booster shot. Those 65 and over are recommended to receive their booster dose. Older Americans are more at risk for complications for COVID-19. So get your booster shot to make sure you stay safe and healthy this winter. All three COVID vaccine boosters have been approved. Find a vaccine site by calling 651-304-9986 or go to this website, vaccineconnector.mn.gov. 651-304-9986 or go to vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
January is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, and American Indian women in Minnesota are twice as likely to develop cervical cancer. Native Roots Radio is partnering with Minnesota's SAGE Breast and Cervical Cancer Program to talk about cervical cancer. It's a special broadcast live Sunday, January 30th at 6 p.m. on AM 950. Guests will include public health experts within the American Indian community who will share important information about cervical cancer in our Native communities. Listen live on Sunday at 6 p.m. or on Native Roots Radio's Facebook page.
Hey, Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and host of The Bradcast. Weeknights at 7 on AM 950.
Hey, it's Tom. Your home utility costs are rising every year, and the money you pay for utilities is a sunk cost you'll never get back. It's basically just paying rent for energy. But what if you could turn those utility bills into an investment that saves you money? All Energy Solar can do exactly that. A new system from All Energy Solar can start paying for itself the moment the system is powered up. It can pay back 100% of the installation cost, typically within 8 to 12 years. Plus, All Energy Solar has some affordable financing options. And even if you have to take out a loan to finance your installation, you'll still save money in the long run. The loan payment will likely be less than what you would pay for electricity every month, and it's a locked-in price that won't change. So stop renting your energy from the utility company and start saving with All Energy Solar. Book your appointment today at allenergysolar.com. That's allenergysolar.com.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Overnight, cloudy with a low of 8 above, then Saturday, sunny skies getting up to 28 degrees. Nightingale at 26th and Lindale in Minneapolis is your cozy, comfortable neighborhood bar and restaurant. Now open daily from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. with their full menu available until midnight. Check them out today at nightingalempls.com.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, it's Friday, and we're with State Senator Mary Kunish. And I always like to bring this up to people that are new listening to us. We have new affiliates now in Milwaukee, and of course we're in Madison and Chicago and all over the Midwest here in the Twin Cities. Minnesota is Mary was like one of our first celebrities that came on our show a few years ago and really opened up the door where everyone felt comfortable. And I do mean that, especially the politicians that come here, the Minnesota politicians feel really comfortable about coming on our show and know we're not going to do a I gotcha or try and trick them. And so we really appreciate that and how Mary is really opened up the capacity of Native Roots Radio. So again, Pinigigi for being on and doing that for us.
Well, that was a really mutual thing as well. I was a new legislator and, you know, things started happening in the world and we were able to get some good messages out around, get the Native vote out, the census, and, you know, then once the pandemic hit. So I think that you have really filled a niche in our communities here, from from Alaska all the way down to South America, I think. And I think that, well, I know there have been people that have heard me overseas that have contacted me. So, yep, you've created a good channel of communication there, Robert and Wendy.
Yeah. Yes, and definitely. Ogema. Yes, definitely. We couldn't do it without Ogema, right, Wen?
No way.
And then Wendy, too, has been, you know, she's been the most consistent person on this show with our sacred animal issues and her updates from day one. And so really a pinigigi to you, too, Wendy.
Of course, so, it's my pleasure.
Right on. Wendy's going to have that heavy-duty weather there out in the Nordeaster out in New York. She's speaking of babies, she's watching her grand. Would it be our grandniece, Wendy? Or
My great-niece.
Great-niece. We always thought your niece was great, but now she has a baby, and so Wendy's helping out with the family in New York, and I totally miss her, but she's going to get hit with snow, so sorry, but not sorry.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
It will be. So we talked a little bit about the economy and people coming back and not coming back. I know we have a big shortage of workers, and also with COVID thrown in there, with people not needing to either be vaccinated or are sick and have COVID or just have COVID, and the workforce has gone up and down. I know the airlines was crazy around the holidays, but it seems to be, you know, one of my favorite restaurants that used to sponsor our show is only open 4 days a week out of the seven. It's crazy, and because they can't get the help.
Yeah, that is very true, especially in the hospitality industry, because you just never know, you know, if there is going to be some kind of a quarantine or a mask mandate that some people aren't going to appreciate, others do. But then also the staff. I have a son-in-law who works at one of the restaurants here in Minneapolis, and you know, when COVID hit, he and my daughter both worked in the restaurant, and they both got laid off. And at first they freaked out, like, how are we going to do this? And we got a baby coming. And then they realized, wait a minute, we can sit back and relax for a minute. And, you know, we pay our taxes, and unemployment is going to help. And then they got that little bump, and that got them through it. But now Tim is back to work. And they've got a skeleton crew that works. And when one or two of them are ill or not able to be in there, the rest of them are picking up the slack. And it's really hard for a lot of these, especially individually owned restaurants or specialty shops that just aren't able to keep going, which is, it's a super sad thing. But, you know, fortunately, most of those folks are relatively creative and sort of rebound in a new way. My daughter is just going to, tomorrow she's going to go put a down payment down on a food truck, because she started her own line of meat and sausages. She's a butcher and did really well this summer at little farmers markets. And so I think people are starting to pivot and think about, if I don't want to go back to that kind of job, what else could I do? There's a lot of people going back for retraining in different jobs. And then because employers are so in need of employees, they're spending the money to entice people to come in and work, giving bonuses, paying more, you know, really trying to accommodate them. But it's pickings for the employees more than it is for the employers. So that's really an interesting way to see how we're going to put this all back together and what it's going to look like. Are we going to have a bajillion restaurants all over the place? Are there going to be all these specialty shops?
Right.
Are folks going to find other jobs that they can do on their own and do at home rather than going into, like you said, getting dressed and going into an office from, you know, 8 to 9 or 8 to 5 or 8 to 6 or whatever it is. So it'll be interesting. Yeah.
Totally. One of our listeners says continue funding for affordable housing too.
Yes.
Just a quick shout out. I know you're totally into that.
Yeah, we are. I think that, well, housing is going to be a big issue at our state legislature. And we really, really, you know, we have a very large homeless population, not just in the urban core, but around the around Minnesota. And Minnesota gets darn cold in the winter, and it gets hotter than Hades in the summer. And so we're looking at how we can bolster our public housing rather than putting tax dollars into developers and developments, looking at opportunities for manufactured home communities again. So we're trying to think outside the box and find safe, reliable homes, whatever the situation may be for more and more of our folks. And, we've got a big election coming up in November. I see somebody posted that Minnesota has their precinct caucuses on Tuesday. That's where we'll decide, resolutions that we want our political parties to carry and sign up to be delegates at our endorsement convention. And then we'll finally get the redistricted maps so we know where our new districts will be. And then we'll have to go into endorsement conventions, and then we're going to be November and we have another election. So people really have to think and listen and pay attention to their elected officials. And if their elected officials just aren't really, you know, producing the way you want or aren't carrying the right kind of policy and funding, look for those in your community that are going to really look out for the community.
Really great point, too. And I think if you want to get super involved, the caucus angle is where it's at, too, where you can come in and really speak your truth, especially if you're disappointed in who's representing you. So I think that's a really good point. And are we doing these online now, or are they in person? Do you know?
Some of the Senate districts, so in Minnesota, we have our congressional districts, and then within the congressional district, we have our state senator and two House members, House representatives. That makes a Senate district. Some of the Senate districts are doing contactless caucuses. That's what my district is doing, so people have the opportunity to download the non-attending form, sign it off. They can email it to our Senate District Chair. They can drop it off Tuesday night. They can drop it off at two locations. So if you go online to your political party website, so for us, our DFL website, it will tell you what districts are doing what and where and how, and then you just follow those directions.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy because usually your state senators are for 4 years, but with this redistricting and the census, it's only been 2 years. So have to run again. That's crazy.
Except in the House, it's every 2 years. So I've been running every 2 years. This will be my fourth time around. So I get reelected, and I think I will. Then I have a little bit of a lapse and don't have to get reelected for four after this one.
Yeah. Wow. And so how's, I always joke with you because we're both retired teachers. How's retirement? It sounds like you're not retired, especially with this. Everyone's working.
There's plenty to do, even, just within the legislature. There's so many different projects and committees. Today, we had our Missing and Murdered African American Women's Task Force meet. We met for like 4 hours today and started working on that. I sit on another committee that it's called ORIC. It's the opioid. Well, our attorney general sued a number of the pharmaceuticals, got some money, and that money is going to go towards addressing the opioid pandemic in Minnesota. So I'm on that committee, and we have already decided the first round of grants that are going out, but now we're working on legislation to ensure that money can go out quickly and go to the right people, and that we're using it, you know, in a really responsible way. So, you know, there's all these little things, no matter how much they say that we are part-time, it's a full-time and sometimes a full-time and a half job.
Exactly. And I know with COVID and everything else that's been going on, our opiate addiction and suicide rates have gone through the roof. And so it's good that you and other legislators are on top of that, because once this pandemic goes away, which we don't know when that's going to happen. That could be another 4 or 5 years or the rest of my life, but we have to really come and deal with that again.
Yeah. Yep. There's always something that's going to take our efforts, but it would be great if we could just get this pandemic behind us and really start to deal with the reality that's left after that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And we're going to end it right there. Peeny Geegee, State Senator Mary Kunish of Minnesota, thank you so much. District 41, right?
Yep, District 41 in Minnesota.
Right on. Hey, thank you so much for being on and checking in. As always, we really appreciate you. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Anna, and I'm 8 years old, and I'm getting my COVID vaccine. If you're between 5 and 11 years old, you can get vaccinated too. Getting the jab might seem a little scary, but there is lots of good reasons to do it. You'll be protected from COVID, and you'll be less likely to spread it to people like family and friends. Have your parents find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
January is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, and American Indian women in Minnesota are twice as likely to develop cervical cancer. Native Roots Radio is partnering with Minnesota's SAGE Breast and Cervical Cancer Program to talk about cervical cancer. It's a special broadcast live Sunday, January 30th at 6 p.m. on AM 950. Guests will include public health experts within the American Indian community who will share important information about cervical cancer in our Native communities. Listen live on Sunday at 6 p.m. or on Native Roots Radio's Facebook page.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
That's weird. It sounded like there was a plow in you, outside your door, Wendy. There was some weird
there
noise.
Might be. I don't know.
They're either plowing the beach or plowing the snow. Right?
I don't know. It's crazy.
Wow. Hey, go ahead, Wen. This is your segment, and hit it to us. Wendy is...
Go ahead, Robert.
Wendy's my beautiful, awesome wife, and she talks about... animal issues in the state and local level, and she's also the head producer of our sacred animal section here on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. Hi, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. As everybody knows, I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. As always, Curtis, thank you for that meaningful name.
Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. And that's an awesome name also. I am a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States. And I work on animal issues at the local and state level, which is always my pleasure. I'm really disappointed that, I was asked to be at my caucus on Tuesday, but I'm here in New York, watching a baby. So I'm not going to be able to do that this year. So that's a little bit disappointing, but Lily comes first, right? Before I get started talking about my fun facts, which I always have a lot of fun doing on Friday, I'd like everyone, just to remind everybody, to go to hashtag ReListWolves. There's lots of information on their website, hashtag ReListWolves, and you can find information on how to contact your state representatives and our senators to ask them, especially Deb Haaland and President Biden, to help them put the gray wolf back on the endangered species list, which we know we really need because we need to have our wolves for future generations. And that's what we say all the time. So if everyone can just do that, we'd really, really appreciate it. I don't know how many times I've contacted them and wrote letters and sent emails and called and left messages. So they're probably sick of hearing from me, but not until Deb Haaland and President Biden signs that paper, putting those wolves back on the Endangered Species Act, that's when I could stop talking about it. Wouldn't that be nice? But anyway, a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about cougars and talking about some kind of fun facts about them. And they are really incredible animals. And I have a site here. It's called the Fact Site, Science and Nature and Animals. And this is written by Michelle Gabriel. And it's 30 clawsome facts about cougars. And we did talk about some of them, so I'll just kind of mention them quickly. Cougars are known by 40 different names in English alone, and the most popular names for cougars, which I didn't know, are mountain lions, pumas, or panthers. It's all the same animal, except that they come from different regions of the world. I always thought a panther was black, but that's not always necessarily true. The main food sources for pumas or cougars are large mammals such as deer, moose, horses, and sheep. However, they will also hunt small species like insects and rodents. I didn't know that they would eat insects. That's crazy. Because of their adaptability, they are the most widely distributed earthbound mammal in the Western Hemisphere. Other than humans, no species prey upon fully grown cougars in the wild. Pumas can reach speeds up to 45 miles per hour, but they do best at short and powerful sprints as opposed to long distance runs. So they like to just get out there and run really quick. On average, cougars grow to between 5 and 9 feet in length, while their height reaches 2 to 2.5 feet. So they're pretty big animals. A mature male cougar can weigh up to 200 pounds, while a mature female only weighs up to 120 pounds. That's still a big animal. I had a dog, a St. Bernard, named Mr. Bojangles when I was a kid, and I think he was like 162 pounds. So he was a big dog. At the same time, we had a Chihuahua too, so that was kind of interesting. In the wild, cougars live to be around 10 years old. However, when in captivity, they can live up to 20 years. Yeah, so. The mountain lion is the fourth heaviest cat in the world, behind the tiger, lion, and jaguar. Even though cougars are good swimmers, they prefer not to go in the water. But I guess if they get thrown in there or they have to, they can do what they need. Having long hind legs allows mountain lions to jump as far forward as 40 feet. They can jump up to 18 feet vertically from a sitting position. That's pretty powerful to be able to jump like that. Robert, you're laughing.
These are fun facts.
They are fun facts.
I used to listen to Johnny Cougar. Oh, never mind. That's another show.
I know. That was Johnny Mellencamp, and they changed his name to Johnny Cougar. Isn't that right?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites. There are 6 subspecies of cougar, all named according to their location, such as the Eastern Cougar or the Florida Panther. Like most cat species, cougars are solitary, interacting only to mate and raise their young. Otherwise, they just stay all by themselves. Female pumas give birth to 2 to 3 kittens at a time. On average, only 1 out of 6 cubs so survives to maturity. That's pretty sad, 1 out of 6. There's a lot of bad stuff out there that kill these animals as far as their habitat and climate change and all those things.
And natural predators too, right?
Well, people are their predator as far as like hunting, trapping, snaring. Pumas do not have any other predator in the wild. They are the predator animal. So we're the ones who prey on them.
Good point.
Yeah. Cougar cubs are covered in black spots from birth until about 6 months old when they fade. These spots act as camouflage to keep the cubs blend into their surroundings while they're young. I didn't know that they had spots when they were young. That's cool. Cougars have a bad sense of smell, but fantastic night vision. My table's swirling. Here we go. After a kill, mountain lions will hide the portion of the carcass that they don't eat, and they'll save it for later. And they'll dig it back up and eat it. Often, they hide their kill in the same spot, hiding it by covering it with sticks and leaves. Oh. Okay. Cougars hunt one large mammal once every 2 weeks. I thought they'd have to. Oh, isn't that cute? Thank you, Ogama, for putting that up. These are baby cougars, and you could see the spots that they have on their fur, and that's to camouflage them while they're young. And then as they grow older, those spots fade, and they become just kind of like a tan, nice tan color. Cougars are typically active around dawn and dusk, making them crepuscular mammals. I'm sorry, I have to look that up. Go ahead, Robert.
We'll bring that up on the next show then. Just bookmark that. Hey, thank you, everybody, Peeny Geeky, for listening to us all week here on Native Roots Radio. And I just want to say, we need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. We're still here. We are the 7th generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop Line 3.